In the name of Jesus, amen. They beheld God and ate and drank, Moses says. This was the holy meal that sealed the covenant between God and his people. It truly was a foretaste of the feast to come that we will enjoy in eternity. Now, the profound mystery here is not how a feast for 74 was carted up the side of Mount Sinai, but how those 74, after feasting with Almighty God at the same table and beholding him face to face, became so callous to the great I Am's presence among them and did such abominable things in the years to come. St. Mark writes, "He took bread and said, 'Take, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant.'" Here, on the night when he was betrayed, our Lord Christ reframes that holy meal eaten on Sinai's peak. It is not only a meal with God, the meal is God himself. Not only are they eating God's sacrifice, God is the sacrifice that they eat. The eternal Son of God is our food, the medicine of our immortality. This is what Christians eat, that we may not die. This is the feast of victory for our God. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? St. Paul reminds you of the meaning of the Blessed Sacrament, that it is so much more than a reenactment, a remembrance, a rote action. This holy meal is the moment when God's children behold him face to face to eat and drink of the new covenant with him. This is your moment to sit at table as the 70 elders of Israel did, as Moses and Aaron did, and Aaron's sons. This is the great treasure that our Lord gives you for the forgiveness of your sins and your salvation. Hear what Dr. Luther has to say about it. "A word of exhortation is in order that this great treasure, the Lord's Supper, which is daily dispensed among Christians, should not be neglected. Those who are Christians should dispose themselves to partake often. There are a great many who, now that we are freed from the Pope, will go for 1, 2, or 3 years, and even longer without the sacrament, as if they were such strong Christians that they do not need it. Some, again, are deterred, because we've taught that they only should come who are driven by hunger and thirst. Some even say that it is free and not necessary, and it is enough if one believes. The greater part are callous and despise alike God's word and the sacrament. Now, it is true that we said no one should be compelled and the sacrament should not be made into soul torture. At the same time, these folks should recognize that those who for so long a time abstain are not to be regarded as Christians. For Christ did not institute the Lord's Supper as a spectacle to be gazed upon, but as a supper to eat, drink, and remember. I know from experience, and anyone can find out for himself, that if one does stay away from a day to day, one will grow more callous and cold, and in the end, be carried away by the wind. One should examine the heart and conscience and see whether one is one of those who desire to be right with God. The more that happens, the more the heart will be warmed and kindled. But you say, I am not worthy. Well, that is my temptation too. You heard in the papist sermons that we should be entirely pure, without a blemish. That's why we are so timorous, and the heart at once says, I am not worthy. So I decide to wait until the next Sunday, until I am better. And the next Sunday goes over to the next, and so on, till the quarter of the year, and the half, and the whole. But if I waited until I were entirely pure and had no more reproaches of conscience, I should in that case never come, or not for a very long time. If your sins are not such that they should be publicly reproved by the congregation, you should not abstain, but should say to yourself, I do not come in my own righteousness. In that case, I would never come. A child is not baptized because it is godly, and I do not go to confession because I am pure. I go as one who is unworthy, who cannot be worthy. We are always looking at our hands rather than Christ's mouth. We ought to say, I see what you say, not what I do. Your Lord Christ has given you a great treasure in this sacrament. This is the very bread of life for you. It is the Lord's gift to you for your forgiveness and salvation, His last will and testament, His gift of love. And the gifts of our Lord aren't just the forgiveness of your sin in His sacrificial death and the resurrection to everlasting life in His resurrection, but also the meal that He shares at the same table with His people. Got a big Easter dinner planned with the family? Not even that joyous meal tops facing the Lord at His table and receiving from Him the very bread of life. Come to the table. Behold your Lord and your God. Take, eat, take, drink. This holy meal of our Lord Christ is given for you. Amen.